So we're going to start a series here on boundaries. This is a series I've been wanting to do actually for a very long time. And if you want to get into boundaries from a, shall I say, secular point of view, I highly recommend the book Boundaries. I did not write this. This is written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. It's been a best-selling book for a long time, and it does have some very good information in that. I'm looking at the subject, however, from a spiritual and mental health perspective. These guys are dealing with it a little bit differently. There's a lot of overlapping, of course, but just keep that in mind. I'm not just simply trying to regurgitate the book for you, but coming at it from a biblical, spiritual point of view. We're still all new to 2023. It's still new to us. So this is still an excellent time for reviewing our lives for the sake of improving our lives, especially in our service to God. And there's one area that a lot of people don't think about. When we think about improving ourselves, we think about diets and better exercise and, you know, there's some bad habits I need to get rid of, and all that might be true. But one area people don't think about is I want to have greater control of my life. And that's what I want you to think about in this lesson. And we're told in Galatians 5, verse 23, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So this is not an optional thing. This is not an incidental thing. We don't want things or habits or people or even ourselves to the extent that we might mismanage ourselves to control us. What we want is to have greater responsibility for our own life and our own decisions and thus our own future. Paradoxically, in other words, though it doesn't seem to be true, but it really is, the best way to control your life is to give your control to God to control your life. And the reason stated in our class this morning, God's smarter than you, he's more powerful than you, he has more resources than you have, he knows the future, he always acts in your best interest. So you want that being, that person in that position there to control your life for good. When Jesus says deny yourself, as he does in Matthew 16, 24, he doesn't mean give up all control and just be a puppet or be a robot or anything like this, but rather he means to surrender to his will voluntarily and gratefully allow him to direct your path. And that will be in your best interest. And if you don't do that, even if you don't sense this, your life really is out of control. And that will be evident to you, not necessarily while you're here on earth, but when you enter into the life to come, you will see that and experience that out of controlness, and that will not be pleasant at all. So we're trying to avoid those scenarios. A fundamental approach here is to deal with boundaries. Boundaries are a significant part of control for the purpose of betterment and security and protection. We are not talking about walls and prisons and fortresses. I'd rather think of boundaries as property lines that need to be well-defined, well-maintained, and honored, and especially by you. Your boundaries need to be honored by you. Someone else may or may not honor your boundaries, and that's something you can't control, but you can control honoring your own boundaries. Putting up a wall of defense, which is what some people think boundaries are, is not a biblical boundary, but is simply self-protection. Rather than trusting in God, there's a person who's going to kind of wall himself in into a self-made prison. So boundaries need to be done the right way and have the right understanding of what they're there for in order for them to work effectively. I'm going to try to address that in our lesson. Hiding within fortresses does not make you a good disciple of Christ. We're told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, Jesus says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Well, the same way, don't hide your service to God behind a self-made fortress and then call that, well, this is just my protection for myself. That is not a boundary. That's, again, that's a prison, okay? So don't build things out of fear and insecurity. Build things proactively out of future protection, the way that God wants you to be protected by trusting in his method here. Really what it comes down to, and this is a key point to this whole lesson, is you need to know where you stand. And really where you ought to stand. How you stand or where you stand with God, with people in your life, and even with the world in general. Boundaries define that standing, and in the process, offer the protection that your soul actually needs. He is part of the protection. All right, so that's the big, huge concept overview there. We'll get into more detail as we go along. Boundaries are invisible, but they are a very real and definable perimeter or outermost limits of your thinking and your belief and your life. I want you to think about that, kind of like an outer perimeter. I can only go so far, and I'm only going to allow so much to get so close. And if you think about a picture here of the Old Testament tabernacle, the Mosaic tabernacle that Moses was told to build, this is an actual photograph of the actual incident there. So we have this tabernacle, though, that was surrounded by a courtyard. That was part of the structure, part of the instruction. So you're looking at this picture here, and you're saying, well, the tabernacle should suffice by itself. And then you've got the bronze laver and the bronze altar and so on. I mean, these things don't need to be enclosed. God said they do. And the protection there is not only to keep things out that shouldn't go into that area, especially into the tabernacle itself, but rather also to keep the holy things in. So if you were to read through that, you would find that there's certain holy foods that the priests themselves and the priests alone were supposed to eat within the courtyard because it was holy and sacred food that was given to them by God. And I'm talking about portions of the offerings and so on that they were designated to have by the law of Moses. And those were to be eaten in a certain place. So they weren't to take those out. So what you're getting here is a basic concept that comes to us from antiquity, and that is that there are things that need to be kept out, and there are other things that need to be kept in, and the boundary defines the difference between those two things. That's the most basic understanding of boundaries, and so that works for you too. You need to know where your personal responsibility begins and ends. You can't control other people, and you can't control their responsibility, but you are fully capable of controlling your own. I'm going to talk about controllers next lesson. Enablers and controllers in particular. And I know what y'all are thinking is that, yeah, there's enablers and controllers out there. Some of you might be enablers and controllers and you don't realize it. Because you're stepping over other people's boundaries that they have put into place. You need to protect your boundary. I realize you can't be in control of everyone else's boundary, but you need to know what they are and not allow others to control you. And, as I just said, you should not be a person who's trying to step over other people's boundaries to control them. So there is a responsibility on both sides of the picture here, but you're really only going to be responsible for your part in this. You want to protect what belongs to God, and ultimately that is your soul, what you separate to God. Once you are an adult, you take on adult responsibility. Setting a boundary is not someone else's job for you. It's not my job to set your boundaries. That is your job. It's not your job to set my boundaries. That is my job. But it is my job as a preacher of the gospel here to tell you what those boundaries are or why you should have them and how you should maintain them. I have my own boundaries I need to take care of. You have yours. I'm going to talk about we have ours as well because this can be relational as well. As I said here, a property line defines what belongs to you, and it also defines what doesn't belong to you. The purpose of the property line is to keep bad things out and good things in, right? God defines what is what. God defines what the bad things are. He also defines what the good things are, in case you're wondering. It's like, I don't know what I should be keeping inside. Well, God will tell you in His Word. I don't know what should be kept outside. Well, God will tell you in His Word those things. You're in charge of honoring and valuing that distinction there between those two things. Imagine your neighbor arbitrarily builds his garage across your property line. and you allow it. You're sitting there watching him build this thing, and you're not saying anything. Now, you go home every night and grouse to your spouse or something like that, you know, like, oh, the guy's building a garage or our property line, but you're not stopping him. You're complaining about it, but you're not stopping him. You're not going to him and saying, this is not right. You cannot build across my property line. In essence, what you are doing is you're relinquishing control of your property and giving someone illegitimate control over what belongs to you. I'm using this in a practical illustration. I want you to see it, though, in a personal illustration or a personal application, perhaps. Okay? When you let someone come into your boundary area where they have no right to be, and you allow it, even if you complain about it and grouse about it and everything else, but you allow that to happen, that is on that person for doing so, but it's also on you for allowing it. Because what's happening there is you're not protecting that which belongs to you. That is not wise. And you know as well as I do, it is human nature that once someone gets a little bit of something, they're going to want more, right? Give an inch, they'll take a mile type of thing. And this is something that we have seen historically. You can see it, you can observe it in people's lives where someone is encroaching more and more. They get to someone's boundary point and then step over it and kind of see how far they can get away with that. And if they are allowed to get away with that, guess what they do? They keep coming further and further inside until the property that you're supposed to be protecting, which is your own, becomes their own in essence. Now they have control over you. This could have all been prevented if you had just stopped the process when you could have. The same thing happens then when someone wants to control your life and step over, trample over your beliefs and what you value and what you know is best. And again, you allow this. Both parties in that case are guilty of something. And the same thing happens in the satanic world when it wants to come in, that spiritual darkness wants to come in and take control because you have your boundaries of what you know to be right, your perimeter, your property line, you've got that all set, and here comes that darkness stepping over that line and you allow it. The darkness is not going to be content with just a foot over the line. You have to know that. The darkness is after full control of you, and it will happen if you don't stop it. That's why this is so important, because we don't think about it this way. We think of, well, I need to do good things, and I need to stay away from bad things, but we don't think about putting up an actual boundary. Even though it's not a literal boundary, like a physical structure, but it's a boundary nonetheless. We don't think about it in those terms. If you don't put up boundaries, then those boundaries will not help you, of course. They're not there. And if you have boundaries that you have put up that you don't honor and value, well, then that's not going to help you. I'm thinking about, I went too far ahead here. This is where I want to go, right here. So when you think about Judas, for example, in John chapter 13, verse 27, it says at the dinner there in the upper room, Jesus and his disciples, that Satan entered into Judas. Satan crossed into Judas's territory, and Judas allowed him to do so. And that did not help anything, of course. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, Paul says, do not give the devil an opportunity, which is another way of him saying, do not let him put his foot over the boundary that you have established, because when you do so, he's just going to want more, and he will take more over time. All right, now to our other screen. Boundaries are intended to work for you. They can also work against you if what you're keeping in isn't supposed to be kept in, or what you're keeping out is supposed to be kept in. Okay, so these can work against you if you don't understand what the purpose is for these. Suppose, for example, you have a certain belief system, like you want to believe a certain way and you've got certain things you want to believe in and certain things that you want to protect there, and you're keeping those all inside your perimeter, your boundary there. Well, that's all fine and good as long as what you have that you believe in, what's inside that boundary, is true. What a lot of people do, though, is they have flawed belief systems. And there's a lot of things that are wrong with those beliefs. There's errors in them. There's lies and deceptions. There's unbiblical teaching in that belief system. But they are so determined to protect the belief system that they put a boundary around it, and they don't allow that belief system to be challenged in any way. They don't want it to change because it's theirs, right? And it's completely tied to their identity and so on. So they want to protect this, but they're protecting the wrong thing. Meanwhile, the truth is outside of that boundary, and they're resisting the truth. So the truth that they want inside the boundary is out there. The false lies, deceptions, everything else, they're all inside. We've got the whole thing backward. Now, I know what some of you might be saying. It's like, yeah, how can people be so dumb? We might be some of those dumb people, so to speak, if we're doing that very thing. It's easy to do, in other words. This is not something that is terribly complicated. It's very easy to succumb to this kind of thinking. Or perhaps we're protecting a sinful activity, not necessarily a belief, but an activity, and we've got that inside our boundary. Meanwhile, all the good things, the pious living, the reverent living, the holy living, the humble life, that's outside the boundary. We're not letting that in. We're sitting here resisting that. Now we've got things all backward. When we keep the Word of God outside and we've got our own belief system, our self-created, self-managed, self-determined belief system inside, we are not conducting ourselves the way that we should. We are actually doing this backwardly. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 2 and starting in verse 11 and 12. There's a lot to say on these verses, but I'll try to keep our point concise here. Paul says in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God has appeared," he's referring to the historical appearance of Jesus in the world, "bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to," and here's the things that are outside the boundary, "deny ungodliness and worldly desires," and here's the things inside the boundary, "to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Paul's talking about a boundary system here, even though he doesn't use the word. But he's talking about a boundary system. He says there are things that need to be kept outside, and there are things that need to be kept inside. And you, Christian, should know the difference between the two things and put a perimeter around those things that are kept inside in order to protect them from those things that are outside. There needs to be a clear distinction, a demarcation, if you will, between the two things, so that they're not blurred. Sometimes people talk about a gray area. I think sometimes we create gray areas because we don't want to admit what's really happening. What's really happening sometimes is we're allowing truth to be lies and lies to be truth, or light to be darkness and darkness to be light. We're making those decisions ourselves, and that is not our responsibility to do that. And what if this is all reversed? Well, then you can see all the trouble that a person would have. What if he's keeping, as he says here, ungodliness and worldly desires inside the boundaries, and then sensible living and righteousness and godly life is all outside the boundary? You can see that person's in some serious trouble. The point here is that boundaries are good and healthy and necessary, but only if they are used and placed correctly. A good tool used incorrectly can cause more damage than good. I'm thinking of tools when I think of this. I'm thinking of a nail gun. Nail guns are good, but nail guns through the hand or through the foot, not good. Okay, so you can use a good tool in a bad way, or a chainsaw. I've seen chainsaw accidents, and they're not pretty. Okay, so a chainsaw serves a good purpose when it's used correctly, but it can also be very damaging and even life-threatening if it's not. Table saw, I'll just let your imagination go there, right? So all these things can serve a good purpose, again, if they are used the way in which they were intended. God wants us to use boundaries, but he wants us to use them and implement them, place them rightly. Well, what if you have no boundaries at all? Someone says, I don't need boundaries. I can just figure it out as I go along, make it up as I go along. Now, anything goes. Nothing is sacred. There's no discretion. There's no restraints. And in essence, there's no law. What do we call that when there's no law? We call that anarchy. And there's a lot of people living in the world who, for all intents and purposes, spiritually speaking, are living according to anarchy. The might rules. Might makes right. Whoever is the strongest power gets to make the rules, and that person is going to suffer dearly because of that, because they don't have any ability to resist, doesn't know how to stop those things. Anyone and everything that wants control of that person's life is going to take full advantage of the fact that there's nothing stopping them from doing so. They're going to walk all over what is sacred and important. There's actually an example of this in a sense. If you read the book of Nehemiah, by the time we get to that point in history, we're around, the 5th century B.C., Jerusalem, the city, has been re-inhabited by the exiles from Babylon, and they have built the temple. All seems good, except there's no wall around Jerusalem, and that means all the strangers and all the world gets to cross through the holy city and trample through the holy place that was supposed to be dedicated to God. And that's where Nehemiah comes in and says, we need a wall rebuilt, and quickly. And that's what he does to stop that from happening. You need a perimeter. You need a boundary so that the world doesn't just march right over the top of everything that is sacred to you, and you're sitting there helplessly going, I don't know how to stop this. And if you don't stop it, then it's going to happen. And that's what God is really warning us, indirectly in this case. He's warning us of these things. All right, there's different kinds of boundaries. I realize there's all types of boundaries that exist. There's property boundaries. There's space boundaries. There's a whole science called proxemics, which is the study of nonverbal boundary codes that we use to keep people out of our space. You probably, if you have anything to do with a job and HR, and you probably sat through a little video on this, you know that you need to keep your space away from people and so on. I'm not talking about any of that this morning. I'm focusing on two actual areas that are directly affecting our relationship with God, and that is our mental well-being as well as our spiritual well-being. So I'm talking about boundaries that have effect to that. The first thing we're going to talk about is moral boundaries. And whenever we talk about what is moral, we're talking about what is righteous or whatever is right. And when we talk about what is right in this context, we're talking about what is in agreement or consistent with God's divine nature. God uses his own divine nature as a standard of human behavior. What he's saying is, in order to be with me, you have to be more and more like me. Conform to that divine nature. If you think about the Ten Commandments, for example, 9 of those commandments are moral laws, which are consistent with God's own holy nature. He's basically saying, do not do these things, you shall not do these things, because I don't do these things. So he's drawing a connection there between what we are to be doing or not doing based upon who he is. Moral boundaries, and we're really talking about truth boundaries when we say this, moral boundaries are not created by or defined by people. You can't define God's nature because, well, you're not God. And so you can't go in there and tell God what he's going to do or not do. It is for him to tell you and me. God alone has the authority to determine what is right. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and says, good teacher, what must I do? And Jesus stops him and says, why do you call me good? There is one who is good. In other words, there is one universal, absolute standard of what good is, and that's what we need to defer to. Despite popular opinion, which is largely ignorant of the word of God, morality is not determined by people, because morality, or the moral realm, is not a democracy. God's morality is not determined by circumstances, because morality is absolute. It is true in every case. What is right is always right. What is true is always true. It never changes. Circumstances can change. Morality does not. It is also not determined by personal choices or preferences. In other words, you and I say, well, I like this about God, but I don't like that. Or I like to do this this way, but I don't like to do it that way. It's really not your authority to make those decisions when it comes to morality. So what that means then is that you are accepting God's truth for your own. And that's all you can do, is either accept that truth or reject that truth. If you reject that truth, it doesn't go away. It doesn't just evaporate. Truth can be suppressed. It's true, but it cannot be killed, and it's not going to disappear. So if you're going to protect or be protected, I should say, by God's moral property line around your life, then you have to voluntarily, consciously, and deliberately accept his truth for your own. Surround your life with his truth. This is not a foreign concept to us at all. If you think in Ephesians chapter 6, this is not in your notes, and write it in if you want. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, talks about the full armor of God. And Paul is saying that you need to stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Three times in that passage he says. And then he says you need to put on the full armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of preparedness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. That's the things he describes in there. Well, what is he really talking about? He's talking about a boundary. That shield, the full armor there serves as a boundary between your heart and the world's assault against your heart. And so you want to see it in that way. In a more simple approach, there's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22. Examine everything carefully, Paul says. Hold fast to that which is good. Remember, that's God's decision to determine that. Abstain from every form of evil. That would be anything that opposes God. There's your boundary. That boundary needs to keep in those good things and to resist and abstain from those evil things, whatever they are, in the most basic sense. Then there are personal boundaries. These ought to be based upon the Word of God, the teachings, the principles, whatever God has revealed, but they are not equal to the Word of God. In other words, they are, as you see on the screen here, personal convictions, self-set limitations, and personal or private beliefs that do not interfere with God's truth, but are allowed by it, okay? And the reason why these things are not equal to the Word is because you're coming up with these things. They're based upon what God has said, but God didn't tell you to necessarily have this belief. You're allowed it, but you don't have to have it. Personal boundaries are decisions or rules or limitations that you impose upon yourself to protect your conscience, to protect your heart, and to protect your well-being. For example, a boundary that is probably in many Christians' lives is, I'm not going to step foot in a bar. I realize that it has nothing to do with drinking by itself. It has to do with proximity. It has to do with appearances. It has to do with sometimes temptations, right? So I'm not going to go to that place where I know I shouldn't be. That's a personal decision. Now, God does not say in his word, thou shalt not step in bars, right? So this is a decision that you are coming up with, but it is based upon what God has already come up with. Another one might be, I'm not going to spend any secret time with a person of the opposite sex who is not my spouse. Okay? This is a personal boundary. Again, the word does not say, thou shalt not do this, but it is wise and based upon the teachings of God, and so it seems to be a good boundary to have. It's a personal boundary. A particular boundary I have is I will not listen to Willie Nelson music, okay? I need to protect myself from that falsely. Yeah, I know, Tom. We'll talk. All right, so I was being facetious on that last one. But if you think about Romans chapter 14 that was read for us, I know he gets involved in all the, you know, one day, one man sees one day alike, another man sees all, you know, or one day is special over the other, and another man eats meat, another one only eats vegetables, etc. Paul is really talking about personal boundaries or private convictions. Things that do not have anything to do by themselves with doctrine. He is not talking about doctrine here. He's talking about things that people choose to believe in and therefore have within their boundary or as their boundary that they want to keep protected there. What I have in my personal boundary may be different than what you have in yours, and that's okay. I didn't set up your boundary system, and you didn't set up mine. But I am responsible to protect mine if it has to do with my conscience. And this is an important distinction to make here. We're not simply talking about likes and dislikes. I dislike Beats, I dislike decaf coffee, and I dislike any song that's sung by Cher. Okay, those are likes and dislikes. Those have nothing to do with personal or private convictions like what we're talking about right here. Now we're talking about beliefs that affect my conscience. What I can or cannot do that either violates or ensures my conscience. I hope you see the difference here. We're talking really about a very critical and vital area, the disposition of my heart, my standing before God, and the health of my soul. There are certain things then that I will do or won't do, that I will say or won't say, that I can say, or can participate or cannot participate in based upon my conscience. And this is extremely important to have those kinds of boundaries as well. Boundaries of this nature are, as I said, personal. You do not have the authority to establish a personal boundary that is imposed upon the entire brotherhood or even on a congregation. You can't say, well, because this affects my conscience a certain way, it has to affect all of you too. You can't do that because this is just for you. Okay? And just because you've established personal boundaries does not mean that they cannot be changed or modified or moved. Moral boundaries are fixed and permanent because God establishes what they are. The only thing you do there is you either agree to them or you disagree with them. But God's the one who establishes them. But as far as personal boundaries, that's up to you to decide. And they can be moved and they can be changed. I'm going to go so far as to say they should be changed over time because you should be growing and understanding better and better what those boundaries should be over time. Someone who says, I'll never change my mind on this particular conviction is really not talking about boundaries. He's really putting himself in a prison. There's a person who's just never going to grow, never going to adapt at all. Then there are relationship boundaries. These also ought to be based upon the word, but are not equal to it. The difference here is that these do affect other people outside of yourself. But only because, and this is important, only because all people involved have agreed upon this boundary. It's kind of like a mutual boundary or a shared boundary here. Or because they have given you the right to make the boundary for them. I'll explain that more as we go along here. For example, spouses can create boundaries for their marriage. This is not to be confused with God's boundaries for marriage because he says some things that need to be honored regardless. But we're talking about these things that can be negotiated, that can possibly change. Spouses can add to these things as long as, once again, they do not conflict with God's doctrine. For example, spouses might say, well, we don't want to spend time alone with people of the opposite sex, which you say, well, that's just like what you said in the personal boundary. Yes, it is, except this time it affects two people rather than just yourself. Both of you agree to it. There's a mutual understanding and a mutual agreement there. Or maybe they say, well, if we have an argument, we're going to allow cool down time after that argument before we, you know, get back to the subject and so on. Okay, mutually agreed upon. Or we're going to always let each other know where we're at. All right, mutually agreed upon boundaries. What is all that there for? It's to protect the marriage, to protect the relationship. We don't want to go too far, and we don't want what's out there to come in. We want to keep this marriage protected and secured. So it's not the case of one spouse imposing upon the other, but a mutual agreement for the sake of the relationship. The same can be applied to friendships and boyfriend-girlfriend relationships and, yes, family members. Okay? So family's great, right? Until family starts intruding and trampling all over boundaries or not honoring mutual boundaries. So there needs to be some mutual understanding here. Again, as long as everyone who is within the boundary, if you will, is in agreement to that. And this is where, by the way, if you're thinking about it, children, especially young children who are not responsible for themselves yet, they don't get a say in this because they are not yet able to have those adult responsibilities. So this is where you, dad or mom, need to form the boundaries for them until they get to a point where they can form their own. So this also applies to congregations, by the way. In fact, if you think about it, you as a group here, Kent Church of Christ, you have appointed shepherds to determine, in essence, boundaries for this group. Now, you all have your personal boundaries, and we all have our moral boundaries, right? But there's a group boundary as well. And this has to do with membership and honoring members who are here or not, right? We need someone to guard the gate, so to speak, and only let people come into the group that we understand are going to be assets rather than liabilities. There needs to be some distinction between that. You have entrusted your shepherds with making those determinations, but this is mutually agreed upon. We're not foisting ourselves upon you. Yes, I get to use the word foisting. We are not intruding upon you. We're not imposing upon you. We are doing exactly what we all agreed upon here in order to make that happen. Why are we doing that? For the protection of this congregation. Because we have something here that needs to be protected. And someone has to be in charge of protecting it. So we need the boundaries to establish what needs to be protected and what doesn't. All of this has to do with personal responsibility for self. We need to know what we are responsible for. There's a bunch of things, and the book gets into this more than I'm going to, but there's a bunch of things, feelings, beliefs, choices, thoughts, your love, your attitude, your behavior, your values, your cravings, your own soul. These are things that you are responsible for. You can't control what other people are doing with all their stuff, but you've got to be in control of you. And boundaries are a necessary part of that process. Boundaries do serve to protect us from negative outside influences. Plus, internally, they provide an environment in which we can flourish as God's servants. You are not asked to put boundaries around God or around His Holy Spirit or around His divine nature. That's why Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. And he says of those things, there is no law. There are no boundaries there because you cannot bind those things. You do not have limits for those things. Those things belong to God. We're talking about what belongs to you personally, what you are responsible for, and your soul, most of all, is what you are responsible for. We could talk about, if I had more time, the talents there. What we're really dealing with here is stewardship, that God has entrusted certain responsibilities, things for you to take care of, and to be a good steward, He is seeing how you're going to manage those things. Listen to God, all will be well, He says, in essence. Don't listen to me, you bring ruin upon your own self and your own life. It's your choice. We have much more to say on all this, of course. I'll say more next week. I want to recap here. First of all, boundaries are not prison walls, but are property markers. And the property that we're talking about here is your well-being, your spiritual life, your heart, your soul, those intangible things that are so important. We want to keep good things in. We want to keep bad things out. By the way, things can be beliefs, teachings, practices, even people. Next week, we'll talk about you can't say yes to inviting bad company into your life, and you should not be saying no to good advice and mentors that can lead you in a good direction. Boundaries are only useful when they're applied and understood properly. Incorrect boundaries are of no value to you. God never approves of something that's incorrect, and he never misleads us himself. As we said, there are three kinds of boundaries. This is all just summary here. The moral boundary, which God alone defines. There's your personal boundary, which you personally define for yourself and no one else. Then there are group boundaries or relational boundaries, which the group decides for itself. And all of these protect something. And you're the one really getting protected in all of these things here. So what you should be asking as we close here is, well, what are the boundaries in my life? And who determined those boundaries? And are they correct? And am I keeping the right things in and the right things out? Am I being controlled by someone who has no authority to control me? Is someone encroaching on my property, so to speak, or maybe even building on the other side of that and manipulating me in such a way? And what am I doing about that if that is actually happening? Am I saying anything about that? Or am I just sitting back and complaining about it but doing nothing about that? You know what's going to happen there. That person's just going to come closer and closer until they have everything that you own. And I mean, not literally, but as far as what is important to you, what you value. Just because you have a boundary doesn't mean you put it there. Sometimes people let other people build boundaries for them. This is how far you're going to go, right? And here you are an adult, and you're letting some other adult or someone else make a decision for you that you're supposed to be making. A lot of people are content with that because then it takes all the responsibility away from them, but that's not how you should be responsible. That's not a responsible life. It's time, again, as we are in a new year, to assess who or what has control of your life and your heart. What I'm telling you is that boundaries are an important and necessary part of that. If you show me a healthy, faithful Christian, I will show you a person who has very well-defined and well-kept and well-honored boundaries. Now, there's a lot to say on this subject. I hope that some of this has been beneficial for you this morning. If there's anyone here that needs to respond to our lesson by coming forward, this would be a time to do so as we stand and sing the song that Brother Kyle has selected for us here.